Go wild with Nation Gear's end of regular season merch madness sale. Nation Gear is offering our favorite fans 20% off all regular season merch, and we're going to give you free shipping on any orders over $200. Stock up your closet for the playoffs, rep your team, and grab that merch you've been eyeing up all season long. Don't wait. This sale only lasts from April 1st until April 7th. Shop the sale at nationgear.ca.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. This week's guest is Speedy Forward, starting his 10th season with the Philadelphia Flyers, Jake Voracek. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles, adding a couple dimensions to the podcast where Nasty and I will talk about some hockey, some adult league snipes, and just have some fun, and then we'll get into our guest interview. So, Nasty, what the hell are you wearing, buddy?
Well, Riggs, I didn't know if you would notice everything that I kind of have on, but just captured my third men's league championship, and wow. It's been quite an evening. I guess it's morning now, but it's been a long night, and you know, the gifts started coming in right away. You know, a lot of sponsors reaching out.
It is
13 and 0. You know, it's
what a season.
Natty Ice. That's what we do.
It's impressive. Three championships. 13-0.
It's a grind, man. It's a grind.
It is a grind.
Everybody pitched in, did their part, you know, and it was a good win. Great championship. One G, two apples, not really a big deal. Kind of par for the course, if you know what I mean. Normal night on the,
at the rink, I guess.
Yeah, it might help that I play with guys that actually are good. So, makes it easier.
That helps. All right, well, let's talk about some real hockey.
Yeah.
NHL is back Wednesday, and the Flyers had an inter-squad scrimmage yesterday. Some interesting pieces to the Flyers roster, a couple additions. I mean, talk about, you know, say a new addition. It's an addition with Oscar Lindblom and Nolan Patrick, since those guys were not in the lineup last year. Talk to those guys, you know them, you're in the locker room with them, obviously what they bring to the team, and just talk about the Flyers going into the season.
Yeah, well, like you said, Riley, it's almost like having signed two free agents. Really good players, obviously. Oscar had a great start to his season before we all know what happened there, and he fought back, and it's just a great story and a feel-good story. Patty, the same thing. I mean, he had a really hard year. I know him, obviously, great kid, but the skill he has, the skill level that he has. I mean, this guy's been ranked the number one player at his age since he was 14. and tough start to his career, really, with his, he had injuries in his groin, which a lot of people didn't know about. Really picked it up in the second part of that season. But he's going to be a big addition. He's really healthy. I was able to talk to him the other day for a quick minute, and he feels unreal. Oscar, the same. Played golf with him a couple weeks ago. He looked absolutely awesome, and he's so fired up for this season. So they looked good last night. I know it's a team thing, but a lot of skill on that team, and I have a lot of high aspirations for him this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, building off last season, like you mentioned, a couple new additions or you know, just lineup additions there, some young blood in the lineup. And then I think just a good vibe on that team, you know, again, adding those two young guys, I think it's just going to add that extra dynamic. And then, you know, having Carter Hart in the pipes with, you know, Brian Elliott as a backup there is a nice 1-2 combo. Talk to those two guys and what you've experienced with them in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about a perfect situation for any team, and it's great that it's here in Philadelphia with our guys. They feed off each other. Moose is, I mean, the ultimate pro. He comes to the rink every day, puts his time in, and he's a good goalie. I mean, he had a great year again last year. You're able to throw him in, and it's like you're not missing anything. And to me, that's you, Riley, you played the game, you know, that's a huge thing, especially when your goalies get along. A lot of people don't know. Sometimes there's issues with goalies. Hey, I want to be the starter. You know, he did play good. Why is he getting to start again? It sounds juvenile, but it does happen even at the top level. And to have two guys that get along so well, and they're both great goalies, I mean, you can't ask for anything more as far as the goaltending position.
Yeah, and I agree. It's a good problem to have for any team, and having a veteran guy in there working with a young, you know, young stud. And from what I've seen, it's almost like there's no ego. Like you said, like this doesn't normally happen on many teams. And I've seen it before several times where there is some friction between the one and two. Everyone thinks that they're the starter and whatnot. So a good problem to have, but they are both true pros. I mean, Carter Hart, I tell you what, is way beyond his years, but to be working with a veteran guy like Brian Elliott certainly helps, you know, him out in many ways. So looking forward to seeing that duo move forward into the season. You know, talk about 56 games in 115 days. Now that's a grind in itself, you know, the players, you know, playing every other day, the staff moving shit every day. Talk about the grind within the team dynamic there.
Well, speaking more of what I know a lot of is the grind as far as the work level and what you're doing. It's always, you're always moving, you're always setting up, but it's a lot when you're basically playing every other day. And so, which means you're moving the gear every day. The one bright spot is that some of the games, they are getting to stay overnight and play again, which kind of makes it a little mini series. And that does help out the staff if you're not having to go to a practice facility or anything like that. That can be a really pain in the ass, to be honest with you. But it's tough either way. And as far as the players go, Riles, you played in the American League, and you know what 3-3s are like. It's not quite that bad, but it's close because they're playing every other day. I mean, you're playing for probably sometimes 5 games a week, maybe, you know, if you have a back-to-back day off, a game, a day off, and then you have back-to-backs again, which probably does happen. I haven't dissected the schedule that well yet, but that's tough on the players. You're not going to get as many practice sessions as the coaches would like. It's probably more video, which makes it tough on the coaches. But I think this team is, you know, you got another year together. They're a close-knit group. I think this is going to be great for them, especially if you're hot. You start off hot, you want to play as much as you can.
Yeah, that's the truth. And I think there's going to be some pros and cons with this setup. You mentioned a couple of them, but you're playing every other day, limited practice time, but more opportunity to know your opponent. Not that they don't know their opponent already, but you know, you're playing the same 7 teams 8 times. And, you know, there's some strategy involved from a coaching perspective, obviously, right? Work versus recovery. There's going to be a lot of rest days, a lot of rest days. Like you said, there's probably more video, you know, just on those rest days, but you should know your opponent. And I think it's really going to build that true rivalries, you know, rivalry again, you know, you're going to go into the season almost like you're in the playoffs already. So I think, you know, from a fan's perspective, the energy level is going to be high, the intensity, you know, the fight, you know, it should be there right from the start. And it's exciting. I think all across the NHL, this is exciting, even though it's, you know, not what everyone wanted per se, but it's the best case scenario for the situation we're in. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what your thoughts overall on this are, but it should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited that they're getting to play. I mean, you know, we weren't sure 100% sure, but this is great. Everyone's fired up. I mean, I think it's like you said, it's going to be exciting. It's going to almost be like little mini series. Games could get a little nastier, which, you know, we don't want any. Thing crazy happening, but it is nice to have some emotion in the game. I think the games are way better, and everyone will agree with that. You know, it's, I'm not saying it's going to be total playoff hockey, but when you are playing a team back to back, something happens in a game, well, your very next game's against that team. So I think that in itself is kind of exciting for fans, you know. And it's, and if you look at the seven teams we're playing, the Flyers are playing, there's pretty much a rivalry in every one of those teams. I mean, you know, some bigger than others, obviously, but it kind of becomes a rivalry when you're playing the same team a lot.
Yeah, I think it's just good for hockey. You know, again, it's just it cranks up the intensity, you know, the hunger, the pace, everything is picked up. And you said it's maybe it's not quite playoff hockey right out of the gates, but it's going to be pretty damn close. And then, you know, creeping on the end of the season, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be guns a-blazing, and everyone's going to be, you know, fighting for a playoff spot from day one. So really looking forward to the season. I'm so happy that they're able to pull this thing together and actually play a 56-game season. So props to the NHL for figuring that out. Let's talk about our next guest, Jake Voracek. You know him well. You're in the locker room with him for several years.
Yeah.
Let's talk to his character, personality, and what he brings to the team.
Well, as you know, Jake a little bit as well. I mean, character is a perfect way to describe him, because he would be a great cartoon character, actually. just look at him and he'll tell you that. But he's just a great guy, good person. He's got a huge heart. But as far as, you know, his hockey, he's obviously, we all watch him play. He's an absolute horse out there. He does come to play every night. He talks, you know, in this, in our episode with him, he talks a little bit about the body fat situation, which I think Jakey's always going to have, you know, as he explains a little bit about the food that he likes to eat. But, he's great, man. In the room, he's huge. He's a funny guy. I love when he snaps. It's almost hard to not laugh. Just the way he sounds. And he talks a bit about that too with us. But great guy. And he was unbelievable to me. The you know, 8 years I've been able to spend with him. Just a great friend too.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. And I love his intensity, you know, on and off the ice. And you know, he really does care, you know. He's one of those guys that you know, I know, like, fans like to get all over him when he's not scoring, but this guy, I mean, he is a high-end player, and, you know, the speed and the change of speed, you know, just the vision. And again, I love his compete, you know, and hearing him talk about it, you know, you really understand that he does care, hearing him talk about, you know, say a couple of the stories that you hear in the episode, but an overall character guy. I was so happy to, you know, be able to get him on the Nasty Knuckles podcast. It was a treat for sure.
All right, great. Well, let's get into this interview with Jake Voracek, which is brought to you by DraftKings. While the holiday season may be over, the sports calendar is in full swing this week. From collegiate to professional sports, there is no shortage of action, and there's no better place to get in all of this action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. If you haven't tried out DraftKings Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? To celebrate this year's football playoffs, DraftKings is giving all new users the chance to bet on any of this weekend's professional football games at 100-1 odds. That's right. All you have to do is bet $1 on any football game this weekend, and if your team wins, you cash in $100. That's a sick deal. While we are all excited for football, let's not forget the 2021 hockey season is facing off this week. So head to the app now to check out all DraftKings Daily Odd Boost to help you make it rain. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Knuckles when you sign up to get 100-1 odds on any football games this weekend. That's code Knuckles for new players to get a shot at $100 on any football action this weekend for a limited time only, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITHIT. Again, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Welcome back to Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
I'm Derek Settlemyer, and we have an absolutely awesome guest today, one of my favorite players. I say that a lot, but this guy is truly one of my favorite players. He's an absolute legend already, and he's got lots of hockey left. Jake Voracek.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming
thanks
by.
Thanks for coming, man. Thank it's you. Huge for us. We really appreciate it, man.
You look nervous.
Me? Never. You know that. Never, man.
Is he nasty nervous?
No.
Today. First time.
Yeah?
No. Jakey, so there's a lot to cover with you. Want to start off with you growing up in Czech, you know, and you making your move over to the Q, playing in Halifax. So tell us a little bit about that, how that worked.
Well, I was about 16 years old when I left the league in scoring in juniors back home.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, you know. High expectations from the get-go. So, and then my agent Peter Svoboda, ex-Flyer as well, great guy as
well. Yeah, awesome guy.
You guys know him as well. He told me that there's a chance for me to go to Halifax. So I kind of, you know, try to figure out where is Halifax, what kind of city it is. And so, yeah, let's go for it. So then I got drafted, first overall. First overall in Fort Draft. It's not really, big, but so that was the first milestone. I got drafted, went there at 17, got a great family, great billets. And
You're kind of mama's boy, right? Like, so was that tough?
Well, you know what? I've been saying that because I heard it a lot.
Yeah.
But then my dad, which always is pretty strict, he said, no, it's not true. Like, you've never been a mama's boy. I mean, she took care of me, obviously.
Right.
You know, I was always little Jakey for her. But, you know, he said no. So I was like, all right, well, that's new for me. And I just left. My dad got drunk that night, like really fucked up. So, you know, he couldn't even walk from there because he was so nervous, right? So, son, turned 17, you know, first time flying on my own somewhere, you know, all the way across the world. So I texted home, then I landed, and he went straight to the pub, just sat there for a couple hours, and then almost didn't make it home. So,
no!
Wow.
You've never done that. Like,
it never happened to me.
No, never, never, never.
No.
That's awesome, man. What was it like, you know, going to, you probably didn't speak much English, if you spoke any.
I speak fuck all.
No.
Nothing. I was just asking for everything. And I remember one thing that's pretty funny. So I sat down with my billets. Great people, by the way. We're still in contact. They were in Philly last year.
Oh.
Amazing people, like my second parent, basically. So I showed up there. And I don't know for some fucked up reason, my mom always told me, ask them if they're going to wash your clothes, like wash and dry. So I'm sitting there, don't understand what they're talking about. I had one Czech teammate there, so he's translating everything. So, and then I ask him in Czech, he's looking at me like, is that a really question you want to ask right now? I was like, yeah, you know, my mom told me to ask.
But so, you're not a mama's boy.
So
right.
He's asking, he was like, so who's going to wash his clothes? Is it okay? So Danelda, which was my Billy mom's name. It's like, yeah, me, like, it's already, like, taken care of. We know how to work this. Like, you are our third or fourth guy. Like, relax, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. So I called home, you know, right after. I was like, yeah, don't worry. It's taken care of. I can't believe it. For a fucking question towards that.
You're not going to be wearing dirty clothes all year.
Yeah, no.
Just making sure the Canadians know how to clean your clothes. What was the biggest adjustment for you coming from Czech and playing in the
in the Central Hockey, or the Canadian Hockey League, sorry, in the Quebec League.
I think I was lucky. I wasn't obviously as physical or as build up, you know, muscle wise, or you know, as those other guys. I mean, I walk in for a training camp day one, and the first guy I see between the door was Kirk Forrest. He was a tough guy. He was about 6'4", 230, but lean. Like,
oh boy.
Like Milan Urcina.
Lean. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like,
I know
that kind.
Yep, sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at him.
What did I do?
I looked at myself. I was about 180, 185. And I'm like, come on, like, this is not going to work. Like, I'm fucking, you know, I got to go somewhere else. Like, or I got to go back home. Or I was like, all right, well, you know, we haven't skated yet. We'll see. So then I stepped on the ice and just went from there, started dominating basically from the first practice. And I remember we were playing 4-on-4 tournament, like the second day of training camp. And in one game, I scored like 4 goals, and my 4th goal was through the legs. Like, through the legs, top shelf. So everybody was like looking at me like, who is this fucking guy? And basically, I would say even with that, I started with training camp, I kind of earned the respect of my teammates.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you have an import like that and he shows up and he's not really good, but the coaches and GM are obviously pushing for him to play because he's a high pick or whatever. So they kind of looking at you, you know, distinctively in some kind of way, which you can't blame them for.
Yeah. Right.
Because you take a spot, job, basically. Right, yeah, you know what I mean? So so since then, I could do whatever I wanted, and I had a freeway all the way for the next 2 years. And I had a great teammates and great setup there. Everything was just clicking from the get-go.
That's awesome.
Did you have to find yourself like adjusting your game, or are you just like that skilled in that moment that you just were able to play your game and not really worry about this new dimension to hockey that you weren't used to?
That's kind of weird because I always like playing one-on-ones, right? Like because I have a pretty good frame, I'm pretty strong on my legs. So it was always an advantage for me. When I had a guy on me, I could hold the puck and maybe spin off or kind of, you know, pin him to the board, just kind of find my way to the net or to make the play. So with the ice being smaller and me never playing on it, I kind of find it better for me because you have less time to think.
Right.
So I would say I was pretty good, you know, like passer or with my vision, I was pretty good with that since I was a little. So for me, it was an adjustment with the pace or with the game. It was just about to kind of get used to that North American style. You know what I mean? That,
yep.
I mean, Europeans love to hold the puck all the time.
Yeah, sure.
You know, maybe turn it back, give it to the D, give it another try, swing away. And this obviously is North and South. So when you kind of find the balance between what you can and what you can do, that's the perfect. That was the perfect time, and I was lucky enough to find it pretty quickly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you get drafted and you go to Columbus. Your buddy Commie. You end up, I remember you've told me a few stories about him, and he was your first roommate.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a beauty.
Oh my God. Yeah, you know, we are still in touch. We see each other when we can, when we meet in Calgary or something. That guy had so many stories. I was like, that is, you know, a lot of them can go out, but
right.
But I think I said it somewhere before. It was my rookie party in Vancouver, and so I get
not
to my
a bad place.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was good. That was great.
Roxy,
it was a great time. Roxy,
she would love the music.
Yeah, music. So I end up coming home. I don't know what time it was. It was late, and. Commie had a girl there. I think there wasn't his. He didn't have a girlfriend, so he was single. So he had a girl there. They were already like almost passed out. All right, fuck. So I lie down. All right, fall asleep. 8:30. I'm, you know, drying my mouth. I'm tired. I'm drunk. I'm hungover. I turn around and I see the only girl in the bed. I'm like, where the fuck is Commie? So I look between the beds. Commie, you know, with his frame, 6'4", 6'5". No pillow, no blanket, butt-ass naked, just laying there like this, snoring, you know, with his Sasquatch body, you know, with his big hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is this? I was like, all right,
Oh, my God.
So I woke up, I got up, I was like, call me, wake up. He was like, what? You know, and he's a really smart guy.
Yeah.
So he talks really well, and his voice is really deep. So he makes it even funnier when he talks. I just have a great memories with that guy. Oh my God, he was really good to all the young guys. He was really good leader. Spoke his mind, which obviously and the end kind of fucked him. But
yeah,
you know, that's usually how it goes with the players and with people like that. When you stand up for something, you usually get punished. So I think it was his case.
Now, you ended up with Hitch there.
Yeah,
we all have some Hitch. We all have some good Hitch stories. Hitch was really good to me, and I only really was with him for about 10 games because he was let go. But you got any good things with Hitch?
With Hitch, yeah. Well, I gotta start with some compliments here because, you know, obviously when you are a young guy, you don't kind of know what he's trying to do with you, or when he's hard on you, like saying why or you know what I mean. Like right. you don't get it, obviously, right? Before you find a way. So he was hard on me. He was hard on all the young guys, and you know, right now I was saying that before as well, that I don't think I would be a player as I am right now with mental toughness and just being a player I am right now without him being there for year and a half, something like that, and he got fired. But yeah, Hitch was something else. I mean, he loved to bottle on the battle. Am I saying
battle?
Bottle.
Yeah, battle. It's okay.
Bottle.
Bottle. Battle.
Like, what the fuck? So he loved to battle on a bench.
Oh yeah.
But if you showed him that kind of, you know, you don't want to. You don't back down,
right?
Kind of respect it,
yeah.
But that kind of old school way, you know what I mean? Which I think it's missing a lot these days in the anywhere you go, basically.
He seemed, I know, like the few games, like I said, that I was with, like guys turn around and tell him to beat it,
yeah.
But it was the next day he never held it against anyone,
yeah.
Because like you said,
that's the way to do
that's
it.
The,
right?
That's the way. Yeah, to do it.
There's a lot of emotions.
Exactly.
You get stuck in a zone for 2 minutes. You're dead tired. You can't breathe. You block the shot. You got hit probably.
Yeah.
You know, that's the last thing you wanna do is to get yelled at from the
player. Jesus, fuck!
Wake the fuck out!
Jake used to come back to the bench when I was with the team, and sometimes have a long shift. He's tired. And it was so funny because Lappy used to come up to you and try to talk, and Jake would be like, let me fucking get my breath. So then it turned into Lappy would come and stand beside me. If Jake was sitting in front of me, he would wait. And then like 20 seconds go by, Jake would be like, what?
Yeah, right. You know, like, he knows it's coming.
Lappy would just stand there and wait on you, you know. Like,
yeah, we have so many good stories. You know, like,
that's
sometimes during the game, some shit happens.
Oh, yeah.
That's an emotional game. So funny. Man, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so funny. Like, we had me, Simmer. I remember, like, was some, I don't know what year was that. Like, we were pretty demanding on our power play, right, in Philly. That's why I think we were so good, because we were demanding. If one power play didn't go well, all right, you started looking around, you're like, all right, guys, wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
The second power play statement and something got screwed, it was a battle, like on the bench, like,
oh yeah,
fuck you, G, fuck you, Simmer. Simmer's bitching at us. Then fucking, I'm getting between them, and then I fucking, you know, telling Simmer to go fuck himself.
That's the truth, too,
and
man.
Simmer's telling me, fucking, let's go right now. I'm like, let's go. And it settles. We go out on the power play, and they start zipping around. Right, and we come back, and we just, all right, that's the way to do it.
It's,
and after the period, you come to the locker room, and we just laugh about it. You know what I mean?
It's one of those things, too, that you've seen around.
Oh, yeah.
When you guys would do that, I'd just be like, oh God, you know, what's going on? And then, like you say, you go out, you score a goal, and everybody's happy. But if we could have had like that stuff, Mike, just to go back later, you'd laugh your ass off.
Even with Chief, you know, Chief was like, I grew as a player under him. Like, you know what I mean? I had a breakout seasons under him, 13, 14, 14, 15. And like the shit he said sometimes to like, oh my God, like I was. Seriously, like you couldn't go on the ice because you were laughing for so long.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh,
off the ice, he says something and he started laughing, and then it was your turn again, 2.5, 3 minutes left, and you jumped on the ice and you were still smiling. You know, like
with
Raf. You remember with Raf?
Oh God.
So Raf went. It was like 3-1, whatever, or clear cut 2-1, 3-2. I can't remember right now correctly. And somebody from the other team called for a drop. So Raf went. That was right by the bench. Raf went, and he just dropped it to him. Gone. The other way, 2-1. Absolutely. You know, they didn't score. You know, Raf's face like, what was that? And then Chief goes like, Raf, are you fucking brain dead or so? And then all the bench just started dying laughing.
And Raf's laughing.
And Raf's like, that was such a good memory, man. Like,
it's funny.
There's so many little things that happening, you know, it just makes you crack up. It's It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You mentioned Chief, and we had Chief on two episodes ago, and he actually mentioned you and, you know, these types of little beefs on the bench and stuff that. Talk about your relationship with Chief, because I know he's you mentioned it a little bit already, but how much is, you know, his character and his presence has an effect on not just yourself but the team itself?
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I was so happy for him when he got the job
in
St. Louis and he found a way to kind of to win the cup with them, because he's a great guy. Yep. He's a stand-up guy that's, you know, standing up for you. He doesn't bury you in the papers as a coach. When he thinks something, he says that to you. He means it well. He try to help you, which is different. Some coaches just try to bury you, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So he just said the way it is and try to help you out. He's hard on you, but in a good way, which you, as a guy, if you're normal, you appreciate, right?
Yeah.
So, with Chief, like, when he was an assistant, when Lavi was here, like, that was the same thing. So there was me, Simmer, G, and then Chief would hop in. So we had a four-way battle. And then when he was a head coach, obviously, you can pull that shit as much. But you know what I mean?
Like,
kind of, if you disagree, kind of talk it out on a bench in front of young guys or whatever. But, I remember 13, 14, he was really, when he took over, he was really hard on me. Even harder than when he was an assistant coach. When an assistant coach, you take it as a fun, some kind of way. But as a head coach, you're like, all right, fuck, like, Chief, like, what do you want from me? You know what I mean? Like, did I steal your fucking lunch money or what?
Yeah, right.
And he just started dying laughing. He was like, no, I'm just fucking pushing you, man. Relax. I was like, all right, fair enough. And I just absolutely took off. That was the year when I think G didn't score for like 16 games. Remember?
We had
a bad start. And then G went on to being a candidate for MVP, and we lost to Rangers in the Game 7. But we didn't have much depth, you know, that year. And he just absolutely one of the best, probably the best coach I ever had.
Yeah. I had him briefly with the Phantoms and obviously an assistant with the Flyers, but I always respected Chief. He's just a straight shooter, you know. So you just want to know where you stand, you know, and just, you said, being a good communicator is one thing, but the fact that he really cares about it's people, you know what I mean? There's 100%. No question. You can't.
And I think there was a reason why in St. Louis they turn around,
right?
Because he comes in, he loosens it up a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He jokes around a little bit, but when it's time to work, like,
you
make sure that you're working and, you know, you do anything for that kind of coaches.
Yeah, simple formula, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Talk about when you first landed up in Philly. It was your first year in Philly. You landed up playing with Jágr, right? I mean, that must have been something, obviously, growing up in Czech, and you must have idolized him.
100%. It was, you know, I had a Pittsburgh at home, everything, you know what I mean? Obviously, because before 89, I was born in 89, but before that, the NHL was no show, right? For Czech or Russians or something. There was commies were taking care of it. There was no input from the West. So, Jágr was drafted in 1990, basically, him starting in the NHL right away after commies broke in 89. Everything got on TV and papers, and he was being one of the best players in the league. And I think from 93 or 94, he was the best player for about 10, 11 years in the league, in the world, basically. So he was the number one guy, along with Hasek, right?
Right.
So me as a forward, idolizing Jágr. So it was amazing. I remember I was in Montreal. I was preparing for a season. And I got a phone call from Scott Housen from Columbus. He got traded to Philadelphia, which was a shock for me. I didn't expect it, obviously. Yeah, so flew down here for press conference, and Barry Hanrahan picked me up at the airport. He was like, oh, this is a list of numbers you can choose from. I'm like, all right. Well, does anybody want a 93? He was like, nope. I was like, well, it's not here. He was like, Mr. Snyder doesn't like it. I was like,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I took
first number. Was...
So I took number 9
yep.
in a training camp, and I just didn't like it.
You kept saying to me,
yeah.
I want to work.
You know, yeah, but I didn't want to go. I was a new guy, a young guy. You know what I mean? I wasn't sure. So then after, I was like, okay, I'm going to give it one more try. So I went up to Paul Holmgren, and I was like, Homer, like, is there a chance I can wear 93? And with his, he's just sitting there, he's like, I don't give a fuck. You know how Homer is? So we changed it to 93. But in the summer, I didn't have a contract. I was restricted free agent. And I remember that Phyllis sent the offer. And when my agent Peter was talking with Homer about me signing that contract, he was agent of Jágr as well.
Oh, okay.
So Homer Peter with one phone call said,
nice.
Yeah, we agreed to that, and Jágr agreed to his contract in Philly as well. So we signed at the same time, basically.
That's great.
I got here, and it was amazing. I mean, you know, Prongs, Jágr, Kimo, Yeah. Danny Briere, you know, it was a good team, and you know, basically I wasn't playing as much as I do right now, or as much as I did after, but you know, I think my game was at a solid level, and I knew I was gonna break out eventually, and you know, it was one of the best moments for me to play that first year in Philly and enjoy everything and kind of get used to that winning culture and you know, be part of that team. And it was awesome. Everything since that day I got traded, everything just took off. So
yeah, and
that was amazing.
Leading from that, you end up becoming really good friends with our boy Wayne Simmons,
yeah,
our buddy. And what a great guy, man. Like, yeah, he I missed him the day, you know, as soon as he was gone. But
that was bittersweet, that game, that outdoor game.
Yeah, his,
you
last
know what I mean?
One.
His last, yeah, one. And he kind of expected he was going to get traded, but then you never know, right?
You're hoping he's not.
Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of bittersweet, but you know, it is what it is. You hope for him to do the best, yeah, job as he can, you know, in the future. And and we're still in touch, and we were roommates for 3 years. I have a couple of stories as well.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. We got along pretty well.
Yeah, he was awesome.
What's it been like? I mean, this is, you're going into your 10th year with the Flyers now, and just the city of Philadelphia, and just adapting to the culture here, and you know, again, not many players get to play in one city for 10 years. Yeah. So you can talk to that a little bit.
Yeah, kind of. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, fuck, it's my 10th year already here in Philly. That's pretty good.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You got to do something. You got to do something right to stay here for such a long time. And, yeah, it's like my second home, you know. Like, I mean, if you're, I don't know, if you would be anywhere for 10 years, if you would call it a second home, but Philly is awesome. I mean, you know, you have 4 sports teams. You have a great restaurant. So you have just, every time you play at home in front of the crowd, it's demanding, 100%.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah.
yeah. But I got
losing.
They don't understand it.
I know.
With my shot from top of the circle, wrister, when there is no one in front of the net, there is no fucking way I'm scoring. Like, I don't know what would have to happen. The goalie pull his groin and just fall, yeah, out of the net or something. I don't know. I'm not scoring. So, you know, with me holding the puck extra second and then finding the empty seat, the open seam somewhere, back door or something, that's better option for me than just wrist it at the net. You know what I mean? Like, and everybody's trying to change me right now. Like, I still have some people, not like the fans, but overall from the hockey communities. You got to shoot more. You got to shoot more. I was like, guys, do you understand that you guys don't have the vision as I do?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I see the ice completely differently than you.
Yeah, right.
And you standing in a completely different angle.
Right.
That I'm having a puck right now. Like, I see different things, right? Obviously.
Yeah,
when you,
yeah,
go, I my favorite thing is that when you go in 2-on-1, I would say when I'm going 2-on-1, 8 out of 10, I make the pass through the D, and if he hits it right, it's a goal, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but 2 out of 10 times, if you fuck up, they're like, "Oh, you should have shot it."
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
should have shot it. Like, if I make that pass, which I usually do, like, it's a goal,
right?
Like, shot it.
Yeah, right.
Of course I should have shot it if I fucked up that.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's easy to say after
the
fact.
You know what
fact,
I mean? Like,
right,
thanks, yeah, for advice.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right, yeah.
It just, yeah, but it's fun. You know what I mean? It's fun to play here. It's fun to, you know, playing those home games. And, you know, because if you go, if the team goes and the people pushing,
awesome,
you and pushing you, and yeah, you can absolutely do things that you couldn't do in any other cities, I think.
And that was the Manscaped moment of the show. Support for Nasty Knuckles is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Before I got my Lawnmower 3.0, I used to have a lot of accidents, and when I see blood, I get a little squeamish. So every time I was shaving down there and cut myself, I almost, you know, fell to the floor. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, which I have, and it's awesome. Third generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to the advanced skin-safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery lasts up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. Riley, you might want to look into that.
That's a lot of ball hair.
That is a lot. The waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. I was going to say, if it's quick stroke rouse, that is right up your alley. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because the intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Knuckles at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code Knuckles. Again, your balls will thank you.
Nasty's telling me that you had the locker room DJ duties for at least 30 minutes before games.
I do. I have after meetings usually. You know, we have one meeting, second meeting, and then there is 20 to 25 minutes always when guys started to warming up. And then I just start taping my stick, put a sandals on, have a coffee, and just blast it out to music. So, you know.
Well, there, guitar,
it's an important role. Yeah,
a little dancing.
Guitar, a little, you know, the dancing loosened me up a little bit, you know what I mean? So I'm going into the rhythm.
I've seen a few videos. You look pretty good.
Yeah, I've got a lot. Yeah, I've got a lot of
pretty
them.
Funny. I remember when Nick Grossman was with us, he was jamming with me. And,
I showed that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I have that.
Yeah. When he was jamming with me, and yeah, it's a lot of Bruce Springsteen, you know, AC/DC. You get kind of mixed depending on a feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it's
a little
fast. It's a vibe, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it depends kind of mood I'm in. And just
one of the songs you played the one day, I can't remember where you heard it, but it was like the Pointer Sisters or something.
Pointer Sisters, yeah.
Yeah, and I was dying because I'm like, we just went from Bruce to the Pointer Sisters.
Yeah, I don't have the, like, I don't go from...
The transition?
Yeah, transition. Like, yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm here almost by myself. There's max two or three guys in the locker room.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Right.
Like, if you want to be here, it's going to be blasted.
It's loud.
Like, sometimes Lappy comes in after the meetings. He comes in and try to explain something to the guys. So on a purpose, I just turn up the music. I'm like, all right, it's my time right now. If you want to talk to them, take them to the other room, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah, right, yeah.
So we always laugh about it. But, yeah, it's the Pointer Sisters. It's on my playlist sometimes as well. That's kind of loosening me up because you're jumping around. You know,
right. Yeah, exactly.
So you're jumping around. And, yeah, but my go-to, you know, it's Atlantic City.
That's usually the last,
That's, everybody knows that. When that song comes on, anywhere we are with the team, we're like, oh, Bruce Springsteen, Atlantic City, JK song.
Yeah, 100%, man. That's awesome. I used to love that part of the day because you never know what you're going to get in the first part. I guess Lots usually is coming in and putting his stuff on it.
There's some like rhythm to that. So
yeah.
I think when you come in before the first meeting, it's a R&B and hip hop.
Yep.
And I usually come as the last guy to the locker room right before five. So I don't hear it, right? So I come in. And after meetings, I go, and about 30-minute mark, we go on the ice at 16. 30-minute mark, Lassie's taking over again to get some beats into it. But, I have a lot of time. That's fun.
Like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
You did like the Mac Miller.
That was a
great winning song.
That's from the memories.
Yeah, exactly.
Deja vu from the first year.
Yep.
That Mac Miller. The memory is just the team and winning and, you know, the series with Pittsburgh. It was awesome.
Jakey scored an overtime goal in game one.
Remember that?
That was awesome.
Shit, that game too. That was my first playoff game. Like, I only played in Columbus my second year. We got shit kicked by Detroit, right?
Four straight.
Right? But they were loaded.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, they had Phil Pula.
Pretty good team.
On the third line, they had Phil Pula, Franzen, and Hudler. I mean,
that was your third
right,
line.
Yeah.
I mean, D stacked up, you know, at my buddy Nick Cronwall on blue
yep.
line.
Yeah, your buddy, yeah. Yeah.
There was a stack team. So they kind of gave us the business. And then in Pittsburgh, I remember the game when I was, you know, everything is two steps faster, right, in playoffs. So I didn't know where I was. I got hit like four times. I was like, whoa, this is fast. And, you know, I got that lucky bounce. We won that first game and everything just, you know, relieved itself. And
that was a great series, man. That was so much fun. We kind of talked about that with Hartsy. leading up, that gong show we had in Pittsburgh, before, and then that series was just...
It was like the second last game before the...
Yeah, I think it was the last game, actually, because we were in Pitt, and then we turned around and played them, I think.
Maybe it was like the second or third last game. There wasn't many games left. The seating was set, everything.
Exactly.
And they just absolutely balled it up, and
it was crazy, man.
Yeah. That's when... Crazy. That was when Chief was holding Lavi.
The Hulkster showed up there.
It was fun. I remember... When Ash had a Shenner.
Yeah.
He had a Shenner and he was pounding him, and Kubi, Pavel Kubi, now standing beside him, like, hey, leave him alone.
Kubi, meanwhile, the biggest guy on the ice.
Yeah, I know, right? He's a big dude.
It's just like, come on, yeah. Just like giving it to him.
Yeah, Ash would let up either. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Good memories, but.
So, one of the coolest things I was able to do, which, obviously, hockey's given us all like a lot of fun things. Obviously, I didn't play, but last year going to Czech, man, that was awesome. And Jake was an unbelievable host. Like, I mean, the food. Now I always get Jake's always like, it's hard when you go to Czech and you're eating this food. But oh my God, the food was amazing, man. It was awesome.
I was always in my lifetime, basically, that's my 13th year. I was always higher on body fat. Like, no matter what I did, like, I was always higher, right, than the rest of the guys. And you have a guys coming at 8-9% lean. So I come from Czech, and then last year we go to Czech. I was like, "Yeah, guys, this is what we get. Like, we don't get salads.
We have boiled potatoes.
We have goulash and those thick sauces and Czech beer and like
It's not low calorie food.
No, not at all. And then I go twice a week or once a week. I go to my mom's, and you know she's got three lunches prepared. Like, oh, what do you want? Like this and try that. Yeah. Like, mom, fuck. Like, come on.
I'm a pro athlete here.
Yeah, I can't do it. I'm getting old. Like, I gotta slow it down a little bit. But the Czech trip was amazing. It was everything. We landed from Switzerland for dinner.
Yeah.
All team, everybody, was a good setup. Then we went for a couple of beers with the boys, and then we ended up going out Friday night as well.
Yeah. It was fun. Everywhere we walked out, there were people.
And paparazzi.
That's kind of comes with it, I guess. I mean, you're captain of the national team before.
Everybody was excited for that event.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Big time, yeah.
I kind of not expected that, but like obviously you just go with it. I mean, be careful, you know, don't go out and when you're coming out of the bar, just don't face plant on the front of the
side. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a picture.
Don't make a fool of yourself,
in case.
Yeah, right.
That trip, like you said, I think it was the first night because we had a couple days in between. Yeah. So we all went out and I won't even say who it was, but a guy that usually doesn't have too many somehow ended up with me. And we're leaving this one bar. We're like in a basement.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And I think we had broke free from you.
I went after that, like 2:30.
Yeah.
2:30, I think I went to bed. I went home because I went to see my family. So I took it easy that night.
The rest of us. Yeah. But anyway, I ended up with one of the guys on the team. He's a pretty quiet guy, but we're walking out of this thing and he's like, let's go somewhere else. All right. There's a helmet hanging.
Yeah.
And it's not the one we got in Switzerland that you guys were wearing for the player of the game, but there's a helmet hanging. There's just a white CCM helmet. I would never expect this from this guy. He grabs it, you know, he puts it on. He's wearing it everywhere. So we went to another bar and then he ends up passing out with it on.
Oh, man.
Right? Yeah. So he spone dies. His wife is calling just to check, you know, because the time.
Yeah,
but
right,
she
sure, yeah.
She didn't hear from him because he was crippled. And so he's like, the phone's ringing. Or he FaceTimed, first of all. He was FaceTiming, actually, when he went to bed. And she didn't tell him, but she was taking screenshots. He's got the helmet on. He doesn't realize he's got it on, right?
And he's passed out already.
And so
he's holding it. He's passed out with that helmet.
She's just taking screenshots of him. Then... he's supposed to meet the boys for lunch. Like, the guys have
golfing, I think.
Golfing. That's what it was. Yeah, sorry. It was golfing. And this guy's nowhere to be found. So they call. So now this is this guy telling me the story later in the day. He's crying. He's laughing so hard at himself. He goes, phone rings in the room. First of all, I grabbed the remote. And I'm like, oh, it's a remote. So I grabbed the phone. And I'm like, click. He's like, the hell? had the helmet on.
No.
So he's like, where'd this come from? He had no idea.
No clue.
So I have a video of him.
Oh, my God.
Running. Like, I'm actually sending Ben Peterson a picture because they had a Jimmy Garofalo poster for some reason. This place you're at. And I'm like, hey, send him a message. Hey, Ben, me and this guy are here. And he comes running up behind, like, the most unathletic guy you've ever seen. He's got this helmet on. He's like, it's just, he didn't even say anything. He's just waving. And Ben's like, that's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. But it was just such a good time,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, last night, too, after the game, it was. It's like a little bar underground. Everybody, it was packed. Like, we couldn't move in there. And we had a bag. In the back, we had a table. So we went there. It was so much fun. It was great. That was awesome.
Fuck. There were a lot of bars there with you go downstairs because what was the Elvis themed bar we went to?
Yeah. That was the first time we went there.
So I ended up going, I didn't know there was a downstairs. Yeah. I go downstairs and it's like, it's so different than upstairs. Yeah. I mean, it's like almost like a old school hardcore rock.
It is.
I mean, like punk.
Oh, yeah,
place.
Sure. Yeah. It was underground.
And it was girls dancing in a cage.
Yeah. Oh,
and
wow.
Next, one of the guys that was with us that works for the team, does the social media. We're like, oh, we're getting you a shot. They put a helmet on him, and they're beating him with a baseball bat. Wow. It was crazy. Things on fire. I'm like, what is going on? And I have a video of that, too. It was crazy. But, yeah, well, what a time that was.
Good,
and
man.
You were obviously, you're a great host, man. You showed us a lot of stuff in our time.
There was a soccer match in it, too, right?
That was awesome, man. I've never been
Champions
to one.
League. The Prague team played Borussia Dortmund this Wednesday. So, we got tickets. NHL got us the tickets.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, the Blackhawks actually were there, too. It was kind of funny.
Oh, right on.
We were all there. It was awesome. I have some good video of that as well.
That was good. Prague is always good, man.
Yeah.
Prague is always good.
That was my first time there, so it was awesome to have you kind of showing us around, too. So,
you're a good team guy. Who's the funniest guy in the locker room?
Funniest guy?
Besides you. I would put you up there for sure.
I got to go with Raffle. He's got that kind of humor. He loves to fuck around, but with a straight face.
Yeah, right.
So most of the time, if you don't know him, you think he's serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, and he's just doing the stupidest shit. Like, you know what I mean? Just because he's bored or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He's bored.
So we have a medical center. It's like two huge lines for ortho and EKG or whatever. And then Hazy comes in. He was almost ready to go into ortho, but he said, fuck that. There is no one. Where is the EKG? So Raf is sitting like close by. He was like, where's EKG? He was like, oh, you gotta go the other way, turn left around. He was like, okay. So he's completely sent him the other way. You know? Yeah. He comes back in 5 minutes. He was like, Raf, where is it? And he just keeps going.
Yeah.
Like stupid shit like that. Yeah. I don't know where, you know what I mean? He's a funny fucker, that's for sure.
Lots is really funny too, man. He makes me laugh. He used to make me laugh a lot. I remember we were in Calgary. I think you were in the room, but I set up a video camera, and when the guys went on the ice, Raf had gotten a new suit, so his pants had really long pockets in them, and he had his cell phone in it. So I turned his pants inside out, and I stitched across his pocket, so his phone's in here. And he's could get his hand in his pocket, but his phone was down here. But he's thinking the things. So we're all sitting here, Simmer's laying on the table, and I'm like just watching, and I got the video going. And you know, he's not paying attention to anyone but himself.
Yeah.
And he's like looking at his pants, and he's like reaching in, and he's like pulling them inside out. And he sees his phone, right? And I just kind of go. And I kind of start laughing, and he looks at me and goes, what the fuck is going on? He goes, I thought there was a secret pocket in my pants. You know, and the whole room just dies. Like, oh, man.
Oh, that's classy.
He's a funny, funny guy, though.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is funny.
Yeah, I remember that. A lot of memories over those 10 years. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Play with some beauties.
You know what? One thing I was going to say was Jake. So I used to do this thing in college, and I used to do it all the time. I actually did it at the gym on the phone that day. We had the conference.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I just talk really stupid, and it doesn't make any sense, but some people act like they understand me, So Jake, I did it one time, and he's dying. So now, we did it the other night,
I picked it up right away because something like that I was doing to my buddies back home in some kind of way.
Yeah.
Because I was always saying something and then I just mumbled the last word and they were like, can you pass me I too?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, they're like, what? Why? I was like, yes, go ahead. And he was looking at something at the table. He was like, what is he saying? Like, what do you want? You know, yeah, and everybody's right. Dying because they know already.
So we're a lot of times on the road. Guys, someone new working in the room or whatever, like Jake would be like, hey, get this guy. So there's a guy in Calgary, great guy, Dean. He takes care of the visiting teams. And he's a real hyper guy, like more hyper than I am probably. And he comes cruising into the room. And I said, Jakey's like, hey, you know, getting going a little bit. And I said, hey, what's going on around here? You know, he's like, what? What happened? I said, well, boys are coming off the ice and something came back. This guy grabbed Voracek. He's got him on the thing. And he's out here with a sledgehammer. There's an Accord sitting outside the door. Hexy's losing his mind. The cops here. The red light's going.
And then he looks at me, and I'm like, yeah, it's a random. I just mumbled something, right? I was like, hey, and because they know I have an accent.
Right.
So they
yeah,
know,
right.
So they don't know if I just like. If
yeah,
I just
can't speak English or what.
They were like, okay, yeah.
And so I'm like, it's at the bar. We got to have them. They're like, we're the cops. Like, what's going on? Like, I don't know what's happening. I'm going to take care of this. He says, and walks around. I didn't say one thing that made a bit of sense. So we finished the first period, and boys are coming in, and I run in, usually get the gloves, and so this gentleman comes walking down, security, head of security in the Saddle Dome, and he goes, are you Derek? And I'm like, yes, sir, what's up? And he goes, we understand what happened with earlier. We're gonna put some extra security down here. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, we heard that a fan came out and he had a sledgehammer and he grabbed Jake Voracek. And I'm like, oh, man, no, we were just messing around, bro. And he goes, really? I said, a sledgehammer? I think I was messing with Dean. You know, and the guy's like starts dying. Like, he goes, okay. And then the one time we're in Edmonton. No,
before he said,
yeah,
when you do it to the teammate and they're like, look, it's the best right away. When he's trying to explain it, they try to pick it up.
Yeah.
And then I hop in, I said, and they're like, looking, they're like, yeah. Like, smile, you know, like.
They're too proud to say that they don't understand.
They look away. And, like, somebody else jumps in, hey, what they were saying? He's like, I don't know, man. I couldn't understand shit.
We got Bronner. Yeah, we got Bronner. And, Claude looks over at me, he winks, he goes, I put fake tattoo on Elvis, you know? Yeah. Like, so he's telling Bronner, no, Nasty, they got this numbing cream, so Nasty let him get a tattoo. So, like Bronner's like, come on, man, is that real? I'm like, yeah, man. I said they have this stuff, and he's like, really? I said, yeah. We went to the Saba to the power, went around. He put it in there. He didn't even cry. Like Saba, he came back to his body. He put it right, Jake. Jake starts just going, and Bronner's got this look of like
I was nuts.
He's looking through us. And he's like, oh, wow, okay. You know, he just takes a sip of his beer, and we're just crying.
You see the guy at the table just pulling their beer and just like crying.
Even Coots, like Coots is dying laughing. But
the Edmonton was the best, though.
So he looks at me. He's always usually the last guy to leave the ice. And for some reason, he skates over to me, and we're kind of talking. He's drinking a little bit of water, and he goes, hey, Nas, get this guy. So the cameraman always has a guy behind him with the, like, pulling the cord.
Yep.
So this gentleman's standing there, and I'm like, hey, buddy, you going to be out here for a minute? And he goes, yeah, what's up? And I said, listen, 4-minute mark and stop it. He's got to be there because he needs it for sure. Like, don't just make sure you don't mess it up. It's all right. Put it on the red light. Okay, man, thanks. So he's like automatically.
So I finished out. He looked at me. I was like, son of a bitch. And I skated away, right?
This guy literally dropped the cord. And I'm like, thanks, man. He's like, what'd you say? And I said, blah, 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 the 4-minute mark. Good. Like, then he starts coming across the ice after me. He's crying, literally tears running down his face. We go in the locker room and we're just dying. And then he's like, Nasty just got this guy out here. And everyone's laughing.
That's hilarious.
It was funny. Another thing, Jakey, that I was. Like, we're talking about being funny. Jake sometimes would go out, and I always would say to him, if just one person saw you do this, so he would come over, have a drink of water, and be like, men's league guy. So he starts skating, like, straight leg. And stick kind of, like, so awkwardly and fast, and then shake his hair like that, but he would go like a full lap and shoot it 20 feet wide. And I'm like, I just hope someone saw it and like, what is wrong with him?
Sometimes I had some teammates see me, they just fucking look at me, and they just start crying, laughing. Man. Like,
but it was one of the funniest things. Yeah. And another thing that I miss, like in warm-ups, Shakey would come over and be like, Nast, feel pretty good today. I feel like I'm about 50 years old today. You know, and when he didn't feel good, it's like, about 65 today. How you feeling today? And one day we're in the room and, you know, you're doing your guitar and dancing around it. And I'm like, Jake, you're like, why don't you like stretch out? He goes, Nasty, if I fucking stretch, I'll get hurt. Fucking, I don't stretch. It works. I'm like, you're right. Yeah. It does work. But anyway.
Stretching is overrated.
Stretching's overrated.
So it is, because I stretched one year, one summer and one camp. I started stretching. So I was pretty flexible, right? Which was good off the ice. You felt pretty good. But as soon as you hop on the ice, my strides were so off. I was longer on my strides, and it's absolutely fucked up my skating.
Yeah.
You know, and even in battles, like, you feel stronger. If you're tighter, obviously it makes sense. You feel stronger, right? On your skate. But if you lose, you don't have that stability. So I'm like, fuck, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, no.
Cool, man. Thanks again. All right, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, man.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that was awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah. No problem, of course.
All right, that episode was brought to you by Settlemyer Skate Sharpening. For all your skate sharpening and hockey needs, visit settlemyerskatesharpening.com. And Body Check Wellness, hemp-derived CBD and functional mushroom blends. Visit bodycheckwellness.com for all your wellness needs. So want to thank Jake Voracek for hopping on the Nasty Knuckles podcast. He is truly a funny dude and had me cracking up, obviously, several times. So I want to thank him for hopping on. Always appreciate guys opening up and sharing their stories. Jake very well, Nasty. I mean, this guy is he's a character. We talked about that. I mean, he's a funny dude. I mean, in the locker room, he has got to loosen up that locker room. There's no question.
Oh, man. You know, he talked a little bit about his DJing, his 25 to 30 minutes. If you happen to be lucky enough to walk in and or walk by that locker room and you don't really know Jake and you peek your head in and he is playing the hardest air guitar you've ever seen in your life, singing to the top of his lungs, which thank God the stereo in there is so loud. You really can't hear him because he's the worst singer you would ever want to hear. But the funny part is Robert Hagg is always half dressed 2 hours before the game. So he's just sitting there, you know, just looking down. Meanwhile, Jake's dancing around the locker room, playing his Bruce, playing AC/DC. I mean, it's a sight. I almost got used to seeing it, but it still made me smile because that's his warm up. That's really, that's how he warms up. You know, I think we spoke about it in the episode. I used to say to him, Jakey, why don't you stretch a little bit? Jesus, if I fucking get hurt, if I fucking stretch, I don't stretch, you know,
so stretching in his pregame.
So that's his warm up, but it's great to see, man.
That's hilarious. Does Hagger even acknowledge him, or is he totally dialed in face down?
He's face down, but if he looks over, like if I walked in, he would look over at me and just give me the old, okay. He doesn't even put headsets at, some guys wear their own.
Right.
He doesn't even have any on. He just sits there, hands folded on his knees, thinking about the game. I mean, you had Robert Hagg, and he's a competitor, man. So he's always focused.
But yeah,
he is. So it's a sight to see, though.
Yeah, you probably got that front row seats to that high end entertainment with Jake. I'm sure he might have a career after in the music space. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the best time for me before the game was. Was that time in the locker room where we're able to play the music and just have fun, right? I mean, that was like the time when hockey was really, truly fun, is because there was just guys getting, in their element, getting ready and, shooting the shit and having fun. I mean, that to me was the time that I, cherish the most. And, to be the DJ, at least he's partially DJ, at times, that is an honor. And it is, it comes with some serious, criteria. I mean, you have to be able to play the right tunes to get the guys going. Otherwise, they'd be shut down so fast, right? I mean, you know, the guys, right. They don't like it. You're going to hear about it, and they're going to shut you down. So
they will shut it down quick, especially the veterans. But, Riles, you used to get there at 3 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. So.
Oh, yeah, just to get ready for 4 minutes of ice time, right?
Yeah, it was the time in the afternoon normally where we would get a half hour, but you put an end to that coming in at 3, so.
I'm sorry, man. I apologize.
Oh, no, man. It was great. You know, I loved it. It was great. I'm just kidding, but you're right. It's actually, as you get to know the players, you basically know who's DJing at a certain time.
Sure.
You know their music. Scott Lawton's always got a great mix. He's got, he has hip-hop. He's got some good tunes that everybody likes, and he also, he'll throw in a little Tragically Hip, a little rock.
I have the hip.
And so, yeah, you have to have the hip, man, in a hockey locker room. But then it's, like you said, it's Jake's time. That's just hard. That's hard stuff. Or Bruce, which he thinks is hard, but it's it's not. But love Bruce Springsteen, but that's his go-to. Yeah, man, it is a great time. It's something. Those are, like you said, little things you miss. Like, I know I miss those times, the coffee talk and the morning,
right.
and even that part, because the music's blaring, but guys were in my area where you can hear the tunes, but you're talking, and you miss that stuff. You miss it, and it's fun.
I know. I miss that, and there's definitely a formula and a science behind the right tunes, but also, like, it's like a sanctuary. You know, I think before games, it's like you come there, and everyone does it differently. That's the funny part about it. You know, I know for me, it was, you know, cranking 8 Sudafeds and 20 cups of coffee and whatever else I could put in my body to jack myself up. And other guys are, you know, meditating and visualizing and, you know, different parts to their, you know, their preparation. But
Pilates and everything.
Yeah. Kickball, obviously, a little soccer action. You know, that's the beautiful part of being individual, you know, a professional individual, right? I mean, is that everyone's got their own formula to prepare. A lot of fun, right? You see all kinds of different, different characters, around the locker room there. So, another thing I wanted to talk about, with Jake, which I found, humorous, and I knew it went on cause I've experienced it and seen it before. Not that I was ever on the power play, but, you know, how competitive these guys are, you know, when you're trying to snap the puck around, who has the puck, who wants the puck, where's it going, who's it going through, and how these guys talk to each other on the bench when it gets heated. Cause obviously they're competitive, they're trying to score. And it doesn't always work out, obviously, you know, if a high power play percentage is, you know, a little over 20, I'm up at 25% would be high. Talk about your experiences on the bench, seeing these guys go at it and they almost try and kill each other between power plays.
You know, sometimes you're worried there might be a punch thrown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Once you get to know these guys, I mean, they love each other. You've seen it.
Yep.
But I mean, it gets heated because it's frustrating. For the last, I don't know how many years, the power play was really good for the Flyers. I mean, you know, Joey Mullen was here for a while running that. And I believe they stayed in the top 10, under the top 10, you know, his whole time here.
Right.
And, it's just been a good thing. And that helps when you have Claude Giroux running your sidewall of a power play. But I'll tell you what, when things didn't click, they came back and you thought, just like Jake explains in the episode, like I thought punches were going to fly and you want to be like, hey boys, it's okay. Settle down. But you know, someone's turning around telling me shut the fuck up if I do that. And I don't blame the last thing you want to hear as an equipment guy, but you know, you watch them, you know how good they are. They know how good they are, but it's not that easy. It's a National Hockey
League. Easy.
And you know, it's funny. Sometimes people are, hey, Reg, got to get the power play going.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Slap shot, but it's not that easy. They're trying. Every team, every power play unit's trying. But yeah, they would go at it and then go into the locker room. They're laughing about it.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you say to me, Simmer? Did you tell me, you know, shove something up my ass? Like, what was that? And then the guys are laughing at it, you know, and it always helps to score a goal.
Oh, no kidding. Does it?
That always helps.
Does it ever? Most people don't realize is like that the power play fails 75% of the time.
It does.
You know what I mean? And again, that's a good power play. It's going to be 25%, you know, successful. Yeah. So, I mean, it is work scoring in any league, let alone, you know, in the NHL, you know, with high-end guys and high-end penalty kills, right? I mean, that
right.
Watch ton and ton of video on this stuff. So it's interesting, you know, but I'm not surprised that guys get that heated because it's their livelihood, right? Everyone wants to score. They're trying to score and trying to win the game.
Right.
And, you know, when they don't accomplish what they're trying to accomplish, it's frustrating. Right. Always something special going on the bench. That's for sure. Never a dull moment. I mean, you're right there. You're right there in the mix for years. Right. I mean, there's been a few things you've heard in your day that you almost scratch your head and wonder if
you meant that. For sure. That's why I said to Jake, could you imagine if we were able to mic?
Just
to catch everything, I would pay money if I could have done that over my 26 years.
Oh, my God.
I mean, from Billy Barber to Lavi. Yeah,
right? You know, so many good one-liners.
I mean, oh, my God.
Dead on the bench.
I remember being in a world championship in Moscow, and Mike Sullivan's a coach who's coaching the Penguins. We're playing quarterfinal game, and there's about 10 people in the building, and it holds about 18,000. So you're hearing everything, and Sully's voice is so loud, you can hear it down the block. And first play of the game, we had this player. I don't want to say his name, but he was kind of a floater. Skilled guy. Scored 30 in the league. Did keep himself in the best shape, so he's over with the team, and he's starting the game. So we're 30 seconds in, and Sully elbows me. And I'm like, yo, I'm used to Peter Laviolette doing that to me.
Because
he was just always jacked up, right? So Sully hits me. And it's so quiet in there. And he says, Nasty, is this guy going to try today? Is he even going to try? You know, and now I'm behind all the players. I don't want to embarrass anyone. Obviously, right. I'm the equipment guy. I know the player heard him on the – everyone in the building, the guy selling popcorn in the second level.
To the 10. To
the 10 people that are there, I heard him. And I'm like – what's that, Sully? And he says, you fucking heard me. What is he going to try today? And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's going to get her going. Don't worry about that. And all the guys are like looking back at me laughing. He had 2-2.
He did.
We lost. And I didn't believe, honestly, in my heart, he was going to get it going because I was thinking he was ready to go home. But anyway, yeah, I've heard a ton of things on the bench. Just, I'm sure you have too, obviously.
Oh, yeah, some funny stuff.
Even things coming out of your mouth to other players, man. Which you probably don't remember because you were pretty jacked up.
Sometimes. It was pretty ruthless, some of the things I said.
Yeah.
I regret some of them.
Well, it's part of the game.
Nah, I know.
It used to happen. You can't do that. It's kill
mode. What do you expect, man? I was trying to threaten guys and take their heads off, you know?
Part of it.
Oh yeah, I definitely missed that part of it. You know, there was just like this other dimension within the game, right? I mean, yeah. You got to go on the ice, and well, I could hardly play the game, but you know, you got to play the hockey game. But then you also got to, like, for me, it's like you got to earn your keeps when you're sitting on the bench, right? You got to show the coach that you're still in the game. You can't just sit there and, you know, start playing scoreboard poker, you know, too early.
I'll tell you what, though, it goes a long way when a guy like yourself. I remember last year, Chris Stewart. In a preseason game, stood up and said something to someone, and the kid's comeback was, why? Because Stewie basically said, you touch him again, and I don't care if I get suspended, you will not walk, you will not skate off the ice on your own, in your own power, you know, in your own power. And the kid just looked at him and said, why? He goes, because that's what's going to happen. And this kid didn't touch anyone the rest of the game, you know. But it does go a long way when you have guys like that. I know it's a little different now, but it is funny to hear and watch others' reactions, you know.
Yeah, the power of accountability, right? We talked about that. It's a real thing. A lot of people want to, you know, dismiss it as you know, as hocus pocus, but when someone's in your face and tells you, you know, punch their fist through your mouth, it's for real, right? I mean,
yeah,
it will change the way you behave. There's no question.
Oh, 100%. I remember right before, it was probably the year before you came, when Chief was ending his career, Craig Berube with the Phantoms, and he was playing and coaching a little bit as well. We were playing in the center, and you remember the big tough guy, David Coachy, who ended up making, you remember Coach?
Yeah.
So he's running around. He's a big guy. Yeah, like, we did have a tough team, but he crushed someone right at our bench, and Chief was playing in the game, and Chief stood up and he said his normal line, "Hey, big boy." And Coachy looks at him. He says, "You touch one of these guys again, you better find the nearest exit."
Yeah, right.
And Coachy's like, looks at him. He's like, "Why?" He goes, "Cause you're fucking dead."
Right.
And everybody on the bench is like, and Coachy's like, okay, man, relax, you know, like that. And I'm like, oh my God. those things, like you said, they mean a lot to the team too.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, I think it helps give guys confidence too, right? I mean, knowing that someone's got your back, and like, you don't really have to deal with that guy, because that, you know, the tough guy's got that guy, you know what I mean? It does give guys a peace of mind. You know what I mean? You know, I've seen it for sure. So. All right, that pretty much wraps up episode 5 of Nasty Knuckles. Be sure to tune in every Monday and next Monday for episode 6, featuring Kevin Hayes.
Hollywood!
Yeah, Hollywood. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a great week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.